regardless of the outcome. Boost the positive energy without one. Sorry by the jab, I'm on a holy field. I'm bearing fruit, but demons try to eat them like Yoshi meal. I piss them off the Batman like Falcone deals. Jungle full of predators, I know how Mowgli feels. So I got the fire, refuse to live in fear. I can spot suppliers in a fresh room.
Welcome to episode 234 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, the only Pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. And remember, PIMP stands for Permaculture Is My Passion. How you doing, honey?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. This episode, as always, brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Heaven's Harvest, 10% off with promo code PERMA. Remember, handle all your preparedness needs yourself. Everything you can't do yourself, go reach out to Heaven's Harvest. They're going to hook you up with 10% with promo code PERMA. And looking at the stage and the state of things in the world right now, I think you're probably opening up your browser at the present moment. All right, Fountain App. If you want to tip a pimp, you know where to do it on the Fountain App. Remember, you can listen to all your podcasts over there, even triple up the speed. And if you want to drop a derivation of a Bitcoin on a player, it's called Satoshis. Or SATs or SAT. If you want to drop a derivation of that, drop a SAT on a PIMP. So, why are you looking at me all weird?
Why'd you say it like that?
Because I'm switching things up. If anybody ought to know that, it ought to be you.
Okay.
You know, because, you know, I'll put. You like to move stuff.
That's in my way.
You like to hide stuff, and then you don't know where. Out
all over the place.
Where did you put my wallet? I have no idea.
Oh my goodness! You are not blaming me for leaving your wallet. Let me just explain to the audience something. I can't even tell you how many times, just in the last year, you have left this house, gone to the store, come back here. I said, as soon as you walk in the door, if you're back sooner than I expect, what'd you do? Forget your wallet? Yep. How many times have you done that just this year?
Woman, I don't know what you're talking about. It doesn't happen.
It happens at least twice a month.
No, I don't think so. Not anymore. Not after I take that mushroom brain food. Woman, I got so many things going on right now.
You have to pay for stuff at the store.
I'm a businessman. I'm constantly popping, pop, pop, pop. You know, I'm constantly moving. I got a lot of things on my mind, and yeah, a wallet is. Don't bother me with these trifles.
So I don't even want it. Your wallet is wherever you put it last.
Oh please, no, it's not just that. I'm just saying, customarily, you like to, for no reason whatsoever, you like to move stuff. You like to hide things. And so I'm just changing it up.
I have nothing better to do than just
exactly
what should I hide today?
What did William come back and say, Dad? I think you're right. What did he say about his own wife?
I have no idea.
Yeah, Dad, she likes to hide stuff too.
probably because William leaves stuff out too.
See, there was a seventh hour in high school that no guy knew about, and it was where they taught y'all. All the girls went there. While guys were at football practice, all you girls went to these things. I'm convinced there's a conspiracy for real.
Is there also a class where all you men went to where you're like, this is how you get your wife to come and get things for you? You stand in front of the cupboard and you look dead at whatever it is you're trying to find. And you say, I can't see it. Where is it? Can you come get it all for right, me?
Guilty as charged. Okay. No doubt on that. I don't know why. I mean, I don't know why that happens. But hey, it's been a lifelong thing. But hey, going on 30 years now, I think you ought to be able to put up with it.
Well, I think you ought to be able to put up with me moving your stuff where it should be.
Oh, so you just admit it.
Yes, I admit that I put stuff where it belongs.
Yeah. All right. So we better get into the farm news. I guess that was kind of farm news. Well, look, I ain't going to spend a whole lot of time on this. Every time I say that, I always do. But I'm actually going to keep my word, hopefully, on this one. Look. You know, I just flew to Kansas the other week. They flew me back there for the festival that was going on in Kansas, right? And of course, I was bellyaching about having to take my shoes off and stuff. But tell me something. Does it not all seem like security theater when you break down the fact that based on what just came out in the news, how is anybody allowed to fly with a cell phone, a laptop, a CPAP, a pager, or anything else? How long have I been saying, look, they don't even check 95% of the bags that go underneath the plane. if somebody had some real dead set, I mean, if you had a real quote terrorist out there, why couldn't 95% of the bags go unchecked? Why couldn't they put a binary, whatever? I'm not even going to say the words on here because, you know, some loony will go out there and blow the whistle on me for something I didn't even do. But think about this. I mean, this, you just had all these different pagers just blow up.
And walkie-talkies also.
Walkie-talkies. And I guarantee the TSA, I'm like, oh, okay, so are you checking the phones now? I mean, how is this possible? You know what I mean? I mean, it goes to show you that, and I talked about it, his name was Kirk Haskell. I got it wrong. I said something else, but the guy with the shoe bomber, where he was shown, where he blew the whistle on the guy actually being brought on the plane. And, you know, he was sitting there watching the whole thing, he and his wife, as it went down. And everything you heard in the media was a manufactured lie, like usual. And so to this day, and then the whole thing with the scanners, Michael Chertoff, Homeland Security, guess who's getting paid for that? So here it is. I'm like, okay, if this world is what they say it is, like right after 9/11, what the thing that woke me up the quickest was that I'm like, okay, if we're in a war on terror, then why are we not treating the most fundamental aspect of keeping us safe, i.e. our borders?
Right.
Why are those wide open? If we're in a war on terror, that's what immediately made me realize this whole thing is a big sham. So now, why is the TSA, in light of what we heard, why is any electronic allowed to get on a plane right now? I'd like to know that. Michelle, you're a color commentator for a reason. I'm expecting you don't have a reply to this. You were talking about it all morning.
Yeah, no, well, not that same aspect of it. I wasn't talking about that same aspect. The part that I found hard to believe was the whole pager situation. That still, the walkie-talkies, okay, I guess there's people using walkie-talkies, but pagers, who, I didn't realize there were that many pagers in circulation. It makes sense to me that maybe doctors are using them, but, and I also read a story that, they had switched over to using pagers because they thought their phones were being hacked. But I don't know. That many pagers in use, I mean,
who even knows? But at the end of the day, I mean, everything we're told, everything we think we know, folks, just pay attention to this. Everything you think you know about everything you think you know has been told to you by profligate liars for the most part. So I don't know how much you can believe. But at the end of the day, man, you got kids being blown up. And right. I mean, so where's the due process in all this? I'm hearing people like Ben Shapiro, Dan Bongino, of course, Hannity, and all the rest of them, you know, and a number of others out there celebrating the fact that all these people got their genitals blown right off.
Yeah. And it's because Israel said they're bad. So, yeah, I mean, so we should just take their word for it.
Where's the due process?
Right.
I mean, we really do live in the United States of amnesia. I mean, wow, you just, a nation state says somebody's a terrorist, and then boom, you go boom.
Well, the United States does it too.
Exactly. I mean, well, let's not forget that guy, our own citizen that we murdered in Yemen.
Right.
I can't remember his name. Obama did that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and still crickets everywhere. Nobody even cares. And I'm like, okay, you have got to be asking, if you're a thinking person, you should be thinking that every electronic device you have right now could potentially, I mean,
right.
It was probably us that gave Israel the technology to do it.
True.
I mean, and then here we are, and days later, and still everybody just, I understand there's a lot of sensory overload out there, but I mean, good night. You know, hey, you're a terrorist. Boom, you go, there goes your genitals.
Yeah, and everybody thinks it's okay because, well, Israel said they were a terrorist, so let's just go with that. They probably deserved it. But
and meanwhile, this is the biggest terrorist action. Had this happened by any other country on this planet, they would have been called a terrorist state.
Yeah.
Any other country on this planet. But, you know, just go ahead and stick with your programming, folks. I mean, nothing to see here. All right, I said I wasn't going to keep going on it, so I'm going to leave that one alone. All right, so we just put out a video of the... Man, do you have any idea how much I want to talk about this and how much more I could go into? But I'm not. I'm going to make myself pull away from it. Well, real farm news. So we got the sheep over there in the raised beds. And boy, are they doing a masterful job.
Yeah, the raised beds. So I got what I thought was a cover crop. It turns out it was mustard greens, which is not at all what I wanted. So I, instead of just ripping it, I mean, we could have eaten them, which mustard greens aren't my favorite thing to eat, but the sheep seem to love them. So we let them eat them down. And now I'll actually attempt to plant the cover crop that I was trying to plant.
Yeah. So what was it going to be? It was supposed to be clover, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was supposed to be white Dutch clover.
Yeah. And if there's any clover in there, it's definitely buried.
There's, yeah, I think it's gone. There was a little bit coming up and then the mustard just took over. I don't know. It wasn't all mustard. There was some clover mixed in. I don't know what happened, and I never went back to the store and addressed it with them because the damage was done at that point. So.
And we got it from what should have been a pretty reliable kind of place, right?
Yeah, it's a gardening store.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is why we go to the Farm Connection, y'all. It's a mom and pop, literally a mom and pop operation. They mix their own seeds. We ain't going back to this other. We had these seeds around a while anyway.
No, I just bought them.
You did?
Yeah. These were just like I had just picked them up.
Well, that had to be before we made that deal with. We didn't make any financial deal, but before we found out that Farm Connection had their mix going.
Right.
So, yeah, you had it before then. But from now on, man, it's Farm Connection all the way. So, anybody needs any seeds, go to Farm Connection. I don't have a discount code or anything because, like I said, it's a mom and pop operation, man. And I'm promoting them, number one, because they're good people. And number two, they actually care about what it is they're doing and find me some other people out there that are actually growing, some legit nitrogen fixtures out there and putting together seed mixes that really, really matter. So, go check out farmconnection.com. Like I said, I don't have a discount code because it's already about as low. The price is already as low as it can get, y'all. And I'm not looking to make a profit on everything. It's what works. And I'm trying to let y'all know. So, down there looking at the instant garden in the food forest, and that thing is really taken off. Looks like everything is going exactly as it should. The biology down there is so much better than it is in the other place where you put one.
Yep.
And so what's happening?
That one, I put some brassicas in there, and they're just getting eaten by, I'm assuming, cabbage worms. So I just planted beets from seeds.
So, yeah.
We'll see how they do.
I didn't know you changed that up. All right, so that's good. I guess we'll see how that goes. So I got some tree pruning coming up, but that's going to be in the main event. Folks, I've told you a lot of stuff about pruning before, but I want you to reconsider certain things. And like I said, I'll cover that in the main topic. Need to get out there and mark some more of these trees. Remember, those cattle tags, those ear tags are the best thing out there. Got that from Flomaton Famous. They got a YouTube channel, and they do a lot of good work. So other things I was doing around here, I was down in a barn. I put the two compost piles together up here, the older one with the new one, basically layered it through. And I'm basically right now running everything through the worm composting bin. Because no matter how good that compost is, it's going to be dynamite when it comes, when the worms are done with it. So I that's basically what I'm doing. Instead of just making the extract directly from the compost, which I could do. I mean, the stuff is fantastic. I can't wait for you to look at it under the microscope. And I think we're just about ready to go ahead and start extracting some of that stuff. So, down there also making room for some hay because look, there's some areas that still need remediation. So I'm down there like moving things around, trying to make room for some hay. The idea is to ultimately get to the point where things are cleared up enough where I have enough stockpiled forage, and right now we just got way too much stock, so I'm gonna have to, some of these guys are gonna have to go in the freezer. We're also getting geared up to make more compost.
Yep, I just got the recipe approved, so we'll hopefully get that built tomorrow, maybe.
Yeah, maybe tomorrow. No, we gotta let the Browns wet up a while
overnight, so maybe Sunday.
Yeah, so maybe Sunday we can get after it. So that's what we're going to look to do. Folks, we got some other weird stuff going on here. Man, I hate to get on here and complain, but man, I got to tell y'all what's going on. We're having this, it seems, I've complained before over and over about the email situation, and Michelle, you're working on trying to get me another email, right?
Right.
Like a Proton
a Proton one.
Proton email. And then we also got, we got even our packages being messed with. They'll be stuck in a facility for no good reason. We have no idea why. Emails where I've had exchanges with people before just aren't getting through. So folks, if I'm not responding, if you're not hearing from me, there is somebody in the powers that shouldn't be. And I can tell you when it all started. Ever since I started speaking out about, and it happened about October last year, ever since I started speaking out about what's really going on in this world, that's when all this stuff started happening. We were getting hit electronically, spiritually. I mean, you name it, 30 ways to Sunday. And like I said, it's gotten, and I, like I said last time, if they did to your phone calls what they're doing to our emails, somebody would be, they would be committing a federal crime. And it's happening in a massive way, folks. I mean, like business arrangements, all these other things. People are thinking, like, I'm not getting back to you, but that's not the case at all. Just bear with me because she's working on this new email. And once we get that off and going, hopefully that'll solve some of the problems. But there's clearly somebody. Our problems didn't start until I started speaking out. Didn't have a single problem. And then now all of a sudden we have them everywhere you turn around. So I'm going to ask you prayers on that. But in addition to that, I'm going to ask you prayers for all the people I know right now that are suffering, man. Folks, it's like every personal friend I know right now seems to be in a bind, whether financially in a massive way, whether physically with their health, or, you know, I have a friend, I can't say his name. He didn't give me liberty to do so. But folks, even now, you have got to be, I have a friend that basically spoke up at a city council meeting, and he and all the other people that did it were fired. And yeah, I mean, how about that?
But it seems to be happening. There's something, there's a lot of people out there going through this just suffering of different varieties.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of them, man. And then you look at the cost of things, and look, there are some potential legal recourses for some of this stuff, but man, they're looking at your social media. They're looking at everything you do out there. And I can't even believe anybody would even call this the land of the free and the home of the brave anymore.
No.
When they can sit there and look at your social media, and if you don't have a social media page, then that looks suspicious to them. I was actually, I can't remember what podcast actually said that, that if you don't have a social media presence, that it's a good chance you're not even going to get hired in the first place. So, really? Yeah, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, that's exactly how it's working. So, folks, be in prayer for one another. We'll be praying for y'all, but please pray for us as well. And all the other people out there, because it's like everybody I know of just right now, not literally, but it's like, man, I don't know of anybody, not too many people that aren't suffering in some quadrant or another.
Yeah.
And it all seems to be very contrived. All right. So I'm not going to stay on that too much longer. All right. So we got a homesteaders meetup coming up, and that's going to be a Renewed Homestead. That's coming up pretty quick, and it's free, y'all. October 5th, that's going to be Burnsville, North Carolina. Go to renewedhomestead.com. And you can sign up there for free. You got to RSVP because the facility there only holds about 150 people. So, you know, be there, be square. I'm sure a lot of people are going to be signing up. And like I said, it doesn't cost anything. It's a potluck. And you can get more information at the website. So back to the land. That's happening at about the same time as Mountain Readiness. And both of them are going to be October 18th through the 20th. Back to the Land is going to be in Middle Tennessee. I'm not sure the exact location. I think William's going to be there at that one.
William's going to be there.
Yep. And also Mountain Readiness. I was invited to go out there, but I can't do it. I just can't swing the time. That's in Harmony, North Carolina. And boy, you talk about an incredible lineup. Last time I was there of instructors. And the pig processing with Jason from Sow the Land, I'm teaming up with him. It's going to be very in-depth. Our October 25th and 26th class is already sold out. So, folks, you want to get in there for that November class that's 15th and 16th. And I'm not doing a scare tactic on you, folks, but I really don't know how many more of these we're going to be able to do. But you will be learning a method that works no matter the animal. Okay? This method works no matter the animal. Even though you're learning it on pigs, you can learn it on sheep, goat, cow. I mean, if it comes down to it, I mean, you name it. Cudamundi. If it's got four legs, man, this thing works. So the November through the 15th through the 16th class, that's the only availability we have left. So you want to get in there while you can. I'm pretty sure that thing's going to sell out here before too long. And then Kentucky Sustainable Living, that's going to be October 26th and 27th. And they're going to be doing a promotion for Caleb House to raise money for, you know, the guys and the gals that kick in those doors to rescue these kids that are caught up in child sex trafficking. You know, the scourge of humanity. Yeah, they're going to be doing a fundraiser to raise money for them as well. So we'll have to be sure to donate to that as well. William's also going to be at that one. And are you going?
Possibly.
Okay. Yeah, she wants to get a jump on the grandbaby is what it is. Yeah, that's what it is. You want to go there and get all of her squeezes and stuff. And so when she gets back here, she doesn't want to go to grandpa.
Oh, please. Of course she will.
All right, before we get into the good news, Redemption Shield, 10% off with promo code PERMA. Remember, there's not a single advertiser on this program. Michelle, why are your feet never on the mat when I'm talking about it?
Yours just were not on the mat.
Are they on there now?
They're on there now.
Yeah, so folks, in light of everything going on right now, now granted, these Redemption Shield mats will definitely get you squared away for all these transient voltages we got jumping all around us right now. But it ain't going to do nothing if they got Semtex in your cell phone. You dig? So you want to make sure you stay G'd up from the feet up. And Redemption Shield, look, there's a reason why I reached out to them because their stuff works. We got them all over the house, and we use them. So Redemption Shield, 10% off with promo code PERMA. Now, I got three good news articles here, but I left Eric's downstairs, sadly. So I'm going to have to paraphrase that one. Sorry, Eric. I mean, Eric's like, hey, dude, I'm sick and tired of you.
He's like, I'm going to send some actual good news articles.
Yeah, I'm going to send you some good news, bro. So I got the hint, Eric. Hint, hint. So I made sure I kept the other ones really, really, really. I had to look deep, bro, but I got them. But Eric's article, in a nutshell, were basically these two English ladies that were saying, look, it's not the people.
Right.
It's the government. It's not the people, it's the government. And basically, they started a guerrilla gardening movement. And it's really taken off.
It's in a bunch of different countries. It's not just in the UK. But yeah, they were saying, like, the system is broken. The people are not broken, which I think is probably one of the most profound things in the whole article is, like, people are not. It's the whole system that's broken. Like, we're trying to function within this broken system. Like, that's, and I've been thinking, like, that's been on my mind. Just think about the system, whether it's the medical system, our agriculture system, it doesn't matter which one you pick. It is a broken system.
Well, you and I were going down the road the other day. We were driving, had to do some errands and stuff. And then we were listening to a farm podcast. I won't mention what it is right now. And the guy, I basically, you were already getting frustrated. And I finally said something. I'm like, man, I don't get it. Everything these guys are talking about, I mean, yeah, he's talking about being regenerative, but then he talked about throwing glyphosate on there for just one short round and you're raising these cows on this stuff. And it's like every single aspect that we look at in our lives, it's like you name one thing that functions as it should on a federal or government level. Anything the government has its hands on.
I can't think of anything.
And that's where those ladies in that article in the UK. And then when I looked at the caption on there, I was like, man, how is it the UK people are so polite and so kind when every single time I see a person in the UK, they're always wearing a jacket and it's always gloomy outside.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't be able to do it.
No, I couldn't either.
I'd be leaving.
Sorry about that, homie. I can't believe I left that thing sitting down there on the, I think I left it sitting on the kitchen table. But yeah, in a nutshell, that's it. In a nutshell, it's not the people, it's the government. And who's the number one murderer on the planet? Democide, government, murder by government. Yeah, we see it all the time. All right, so check this out. Here's another good news story. Why mulberry trees are the perfect tree for sustainable development. A lot of permaculture designers have discussed this in great detail. Bill Mullison, Jeff Lawton, a whole gang of them, and all of them escape me right now. But in an environment, you know, for agroforestation. Mulberries grow quickly and can adapt to so many different climates. So you know what? Everybody likes to come down on Iran, but you know what? They all came from Persia.
Yeah.
How about that? So afforestation, they grow quickly, obviously. Bioremediation for pollutants. Mulberries, obviously, are very effective, you know, cleaning up those things. Carbon sequestration, you know, if you're worried about that sort of thing. Eco restoration, mulberries are incredibly resilient. Soil and water conservation, man, they grow well everywhere. Go ahead.
Tree hay. They're also great for livestock, for tree hay.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that because that was the next thing in the article. Yeah, a wildlife haven is what they say here. It's a boon for wildlife. I mean, a great companion plant, a pollinator magnet. I mean, and we've had, believe it or not, we've struggled trying to get them to grow here.
Yeah.
Grow here.
Is the one down in the food forest, I keep forgetting to check on it.
No, it's not doing so great.
We might need to check our variety.
But I remember this one Persian mulberry of a person we used to go to church with once upon a time. Man, those things were incredibly sweet and resilient, obviously. They just don't seem to do so well here.
I wonder if the ones in Texas are growing well.
Well, I bet they're doing pretty good. But yeah, we'll have to try another variety, Ben, because mulberries are so incredibly resilient. So here's another one. 10 tips to kickstart your fall transformation. Folks, we're going through a lot of that right now, both Michelle and I. Look, in light of the world around us, I'm doing everything I can. I'm letting y'all know about the biohacks I'm doing, and I'm doing the best I can. And I told you about the latest one I'm really, really trying to get on top of is my sleep. And I seem to be making some headway. It's a tough road when you're in a bad habit for so long. It takes a little bit of kickstarting to get yourself out of it, but you know, tried a little experiment last night. I'll keep it up and I'll let y'all know how that goes. I'm not ready to say what it was yet, but, you know, that's one of those biohacks. I'm really trying to, you know, my diet seems to be on point. Vitamin, water, all of it. I mean, I'm drinking almost 2 gallons of water a day, taking in plenty of salt, plenty of, what do you call those things? The,
electrolytes.
Yep. Electrolytes, all of it. And then, you know, got a pretty decent workout regimen that I'm trying to, you know, ramp up week after week, but it's freaking me out because I'm using this PEMF mat, the pulse electric magnetic field mat.
What part is freaking you out?
Is that I'm working out and I don't feel pain the next day.
So you think that PEMF mat is taking care of that?
It has to be. I mean, William swore up and down by it when he was on 75 hard.
Well, when we were doing it, like we were doing a little bit of cardio and my lower things that were sore, I would lay on that mat and the soreness went away.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, it just seems weird. It almost seems like it's hard to believe that that thing works as well as it does.
I'm telling you, when I did my ruck march in, what was it? Late winter, early spring. I thought I was going to be laid up for a while. And I went out and did that ground. Like, I can't even imagine what my recovery would have been if I would have had that mat. Because even grounding, like the grounding, it was like, I did chores the next morning.
Yeah. Yeah. You walked what, 25 miles, 26 miles?
Yeah.
With a rucksack. Yeah. So, I mean, that's a pretty arduous thing. And that pulse electric magnetic field mat, I mean, believe me, they're not all made the same, believe me. And they're not cheap. I mean, we got that thing at a time where we didn't know what was going on around here. And it has a bunch of different settings on it. But anyway, I feel weird because I'm like, I feel no soreness, no pain. And for some reason, that just feels odd.
But even the sleep one, like I don't use it every night. But last night, I really wasn't tired last night when I went up to use it. But I went up to use it and you lay on it for like, what is it? 24 minutes.
Yeah.
By about 14 minutes in, I was ready to go to sleep.
I might have to try that one tonight, but usually I just use the only setting I use as of late is the one where it's regeneration. Now they've got a regeneration, an activation, a performance setting, a sleep setting, you know, something to chill you out. Man, it just blows my mind how well this thing seems to be working. It's just in my mind, it's like that wave watch. It's like it works too well. Like everybody thinks I'm wearing an eye watch or what do you call that thing? Is that what they call them?
Eye, I can't remember.
Apple Watch.
It's an Apple Watch, but I don't remember the name of it.
They think I'm wearing an Apple Watch, but I'm not. In these videos, it's actually a Wave Watch, and hopefully I'll get them on here to talk about it. And, you know, this thing puts out certain frequencies, and I'm going to get the inventor of it on the show, and we're going to talk about it. In fact, I should have had him on the show 2 weeks ago, but I kept using it thinking there is no way this thing's working this well.
Oh, I think it does.
Yeah, you used it when you were having some pretty bad pain, too. Mm-hmm. And you felt like
when I took it off, it went like out of control.
Wow. So yeah, I mean, there's technology out there, y'all. It ain't all cheap by no means, but man, I'm trying to make deals out here and see what works. And there's a lot of things, y'all, that I'm trying that don't work, so you'll never hear about it. But these things are working so well that I'm reluctant. Man, I have a great deal of reticence about talking about it because I'm like, man, I've had other people wear it. In fact, we were at that Homestead meetup and I let a couple of people wear it there. When we were at that Jamboree,
mm-hmm.
I let one of the ladies from, what was that called? That salt, Redmond Salt. And she wore it all night long. And I got it from her the next day. And she swore up and down that it took care of her shoulder pain. So that she said she hadn't gotten rid of since a car accident. When I walked up, she says, "Is that a Wave Watch?" And I said, "Yeah." And I said, "Look, just go ahead and give it a shot." So maybe that's why Redmond's is now going to be one of our sponsors. Sure. No, I'm kidding. No, they are. I mean, honestly, we're making a deal with Redmond right now because honestly, we use their stuff. Yeah,
we've used their stuff for years.
Yeah. I mean, whether in agriculture, now I use their every single day, I use their electrolytes. Yeah. So in between that and some of the Celtic salt, but. Anyway, as far as this article here, 10 tips to start your fall transformation. Folks, do I really even need to provide a reason why you ought to be doing it? Well, first figure out your fitness goals. Commit to an exercise regimen. And folks, just start simple. It doesn't have to be go out there and just jog a bunch of miles. Just get up in the morning, look at the sun, do your deep breathing. If you can manage it, do some cold water therapy. All this stuff is easy and it's free. Ground yourself. If you can, do whole body grounding. If you're at work, go out. I don't care if everybody thinks you're crazy, man. Go lay on the ground. Start there before you even start the exercise regimen. I know it sounds almost cliche, but instead of taking the elevator, maybe take the stairs. You know, can you stand up? Do you have one of those desks where you can stand up? I mean, little things like that. Be conscious that as you're walking, it was a experiment, I believe, done by Joe Dispenza, where they were talking about these ladies that were, oh my goodness, they were cleaning ladies.
Yeah, the cleaning ladies.
Yeah, where all they did, they told half of them, hey, did you know, they put a watch or something on them, see how many steps or whatever they were moving in a day. Do you know this is how much exercise you're doing in the course of your day? And they didn't tell the other half anything. And the ones that now knew that they were exercising while working, they lost a ton of weight.
Right, and they didn't change their diets or anything.
They didn't change anything. So just being conscious of the fact that, hey, I'm walking up this elevator or I'm going to park far out in the parking lot, you know, something simple like that, instead of, you know, going up near the front, park all the way to the back of the parking lot and just know that you're just adding more steps to whatever it is you're doing. You know, go out there and, you know, fall's coming around, you got leaves, you know, enjoy the fall foliage while exercising. Obviously be safe and alert outdoors, wear layers to stay warm. Okay, some of this stuff is pretty common sense. And then use the right gear, try new activities, exercise at home, get a bike or try cycling. Buy fall produce for less. Fall produce is usually a little bit cheaper, especially when you buy it in bulk, like apples, pears, and figs, pumpkins, sweet potatoes, winter squash, and stuff like that. Get a bike, try cycling to work. But you don't have to start off with the heavy stuff at first, y'all. Just do the light lifting. Start off easy. You know, I'm on a regimen now where, you know, I started off walking, okay? Walking. Now I walk all day, I mean, doing the work we do around here. I'm doing activities all day long, but when you're conscious of it, you'll be shocked at how healthier you get just knowing. I mean, maybe it takes the edge off of a job you hate, you know? I mean, back when I was still working with my tools, man, you know, if I had to do it again, I would look at it very, very differently. with the understanding that, hey, you know what? Okay, so I got to walk all the way across this job to the laydown yard to go get some conduit and walk it back here. Okay. Well, I'd be looking at it a whole lot different than I used to in the past. You know, instead of saying, hey, anybody got a golf cart around here? Maybe I'll just walk it next time. Well, hopefully there won't be a next time. All right, with that, we're going into my man, Eric Sider.
Hey, Eric Sider here with your PimpCast tip of the day. Today's tip, too big to succeed. We hear often about corporations or organizations that are too big to fail, as it would have an irreparable effect on society. These types of centralized systems are only created to concentrate power and control into the hands of the few. Small and diverse groups of people are the only way to set up self-reliant and secure communities. As we set up local community groups, it's critical to understand the appropriate numbers of people to include. The following is from Chapter 14 of the Permaculture Designer's Manual. At about 100 income-producing people, a significant financial institution can be village-based. At about 500, all people can know each other if social affairs are organized. At 2,000 people, theft and competitiveness is more common and sex set up in opposition. We should start small at about 30 adults, build to 200 to 300 people, and proceed slowly and by choice to 500, then break off into new neighborhoods or villages. Alliances of 200 to 500 households can make a very viable manufacturing or trading alliance and maintain a safe genetic base. Many tribes of 200 or so can form alliances of 4,000 to 7,000 to share special products to trade and seek alliances for the common good. At 7,000 to 40,000 people, typical of towns and large bioregions, but this number must be broken up into small cooperatives and villages to be effective. At 15,000 to 10 million, the size of most cities, it is mainly disorganized at every level. There is effective anarchy and crime and social isolation in many areas. It becomes obvious that if large towns are impossible to govern, why do we expect cities and countries to be anything but chaos and failure? You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Eric Sider. And if you're in need of permaculture t-shirts or remote permaculture consultation and design, head over to ericsider.com.
That's my dog right there. Well, I think he made all the argument anybody would ever need about.
Okay. That's exactly what's going on.
Okay, chaos. Back to that homesteaders meetup coming up here at Renewed Homestead. Yeah, on October 5th. Yeah, I mean, he just said it all right there.
Yeah.
I mean, I really, especially with the nature of what's going on in this world right now, you know, we see record numbers realizing, okay, man, this is not a place to live. This is not a place to raise a family. You know, even if you have a significant other and you live in one of these places, man, you got to be really rethinking everything about your life right now. I mean, how could you not? And it's only going to, I mean, even when things were better and good, it was still not the best place in the world.
Right.
So, you know, that's why we see everybody going into these enclaves these days, and you can't blame them. So once again, my man hit it out of the park. And, you know, also, goes right back to what those ladies talked about in that article.
Yeah.
You know, it's only when you have a bureaucrat, I'll give you a prime example. When you have bureaucrats involved, you are always going to have major problems. Prime example, right there in Asheville, I won't name the business, but in order for them to get a liquor license so they can sell, you know, Bloody Marys or whatever at brunch on Sunday or whatever the case may be or whatever it is they want to. Do you have any idea how many hoops they have to jump? How many different palms have to be greased? And that's a town the size of Asheville. It is so unbelievably corrupt, even at that level. Can you imagine what it must be like? You know, I remember what it was like in, you know, just to get a permit in places like Kansas City for certain things. I
mean, even working for the government, like in any form, to get something simple done, it's astonishing how long it takes and how many levels you have to go through.
And you got to murder somebody to get fired. Even then, okay, if you doubt me, how is it you have this calamity that happened in Afghanistan? Not a single person was fired for it. 9/11 happened. Even Rush Limbaugh Even Rush Limbaugh complained about the fact that 9/11 happened. Not a single person was fired. Okay, here's the latest one. If you believe these assassination attempts with Trump or wherever you stand on that, I don't care where you come down. But everybody in the Secret Service was all promoted.
Yeah.
Okay. So whenever you have bureaucrats involved, now we're talking federal government, but it happens even on the state and the local levels. When I worked at the VA, I worked for the government on two different stints. And the quote was screw up, move up.
It was the same way in the military too.
Well, that's what I mean. It was in the military and also at the VA. They would promote a person just to get them because they were such a nincompoop. They had to remove them from that position. And that's exactly where that's exactly how it happens. And like, you know, very well, just like I do in the military, it was exactly the same way. So it happens exactly the same way on these county and state county and local levels. The more bureaucrats you have involved, the more a mess this thing is going to be. In fact, I remember that, I think it was in Switzerland. They said, okay, they removed their version of a stop sign. Okay. They tried this experiment. I remember Tom Woods talking about it, or maybe it was Lou Rockwell a while back. And they were talking about, they removed the stop signs just to see what would happen. Just to see what would happen. And guess what? Not a single crash.
That would not happen here in the United States.
No. I mean, they did it. It was like if I remember the story correctly, it was a very bad intersection somehow. When they got rid of all the traffic signs, when people were no longer told what to do, they didn't outsource their thinking. They approached every stop with caution. And so there was not a single crash that happened. So you remove these hands out of it. And like Eric said, I mean, the bigger it gets, the more corrupt it gets. So, and then also on a local level, on a very local level like that, people have to be accountable. Because now it's not like some bureaucrat that lives in some upscale community and you have no access to them. Well, it's Johnny down the street that you know, or let's say it's on your farm. And now all of a sudden, like Joel had talked about once, where, all these chickens died over here. Well, guess what? I ain't going to be too happy about it if they're my chickens. But if you were bought into it, now all of a sudden, if those chickens die, well, you're in on it with me, homie. So that's how it works, and that's how you make people responsible. So the more local, the better. All right, once again, great idea, Eric. EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA. 27-year journeyman IBEW electrician. That's why you might see a lot of advertisements on here, y'all, for things that I know a whole lot about, like Redemption Shield. Well, also applies to EMP Shield. They didn't reach out to me. I reached out to them. Look, if things go kapooey, and they will, judging by the nature of the things in this world, it's like you see it ramping up. You see it ramping. And should it end in an EMP? Well, guess what? I don't intend to be stuck on the side of the road because my vehicle didn't start. I ain't trying to go to the club either. I'm going to the house. So that's why I'm encouraging as many of you out there. Look, these things ain't cheap because they're made that well. Get them for your vehicle. Get them for your home. If anything gets Kentucky fried from a lightning strike downstream, they cover you for 25 G's. Yeah, find me another EMP shield. Well, there ain't another EMP shield out there, but find me anything that's even in the ballpark of a warranty like that. All right, EMP shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA. All right, well, I'm going to get into the main topic here. And to prune or not to prune, that is the question. Now, all the videos you've seen me do in the past, I've done most of my pruning in the fall. And the primary reason for that is going through the work of Dr. Carl Whitcomb out of Oklahoma State. He's probably done more work on this probably than anybody else. I'm sure there's others that have done work, but I'm most familiar with his. And it was made known to me by Stefan Subkowiak. So I want to give a hat tip to my man, Stefan. Looking at his work and also his pots, man, those are fantastic too. I know Eric's gotten a lot of his, I think Eric's gotten a lot of his pots as well. Anyway, through his work, he figured out that most root growth is going to happen through the fall and the winter in your deciduous trees, basically any tree that loses its leaves. So we're talking, let's say your fruit trees or whatever the case may be. So if you really want to get them off and running, you want to get them fired up and kicking, if you want to put them on steroids, well, besides doing some of the other things I've done, if you were to do nothing but do your pruning, and you could do it in accordance with the method that Stefan Subkowiak teaches, the way I was trained, I've been through other pruning courses, and they were all like nebulous, man. There was no rhyme or reason as to why you picked the branch you did until I came across Stefan's work. And from that, he had talked about where he'd learned it from the French people, who are probably some of the best in the world when it comes to arborist work. And through that process, through the fall, you basically use what's called the LBL method. The low branches, which is in an orchard setting, maybe anything below 42 inches, you're going to cut away. So that's the L. The B stands for big. So anything that's 50% or greater to the trunk that it's attached to, you want to get rid of that. Then the other L is anything in the line or lane. So anything that might slap you in the face while you're walking down the aisle, you probably want to get rid of that. Anything that's growing directly into the tree next to it, maybe you want to get rid of that. Now, this is in a permaculture orchard setting, okay? This won't apply for the food forest setting. So LBL. And then in addition to that, you would clear what's called the chimney, which is basically 6 to 8 inches from the base of the trunk down to the branches you keep. You're going to get rid of anything within 6 to 8 inches of there, okay? Anything below, you're probably going to want to get rid of that because it's going to get shaded out. Anything above is a sucker. So instead of cutting it off, instead of cutting off a sucker that comes off the top of the branch you want to keep, you want to break it over. And in his latest pruning courses, you find out the reasons why. There's a whole constellations for reasons why you might want to do that. Now, taking those tips, and then, of course, you're going to leave about 12 to 14 branches on your trees. Now, that's in the fall. That's if you, and when spring rolls around, folks, you're not even going to believe the explosion that happens. But that's the way I've typically pruned in the past. Now, because of some of the things we've done around here, my growth has been entirely too vigorous, and I got to slow my trees down. This may be your problem as well. Because of all the extract I've made, I mean, the life around these trees is absolutely exploding. You put down a mulch ring, Michelle, in my line, you put down a mulch ring of just straight wood chips, it could be a foot high, and 3 months later, it's ground level.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's how alive the soil is here. So when you have soil that's that alive, obviously, it's going to create vigorous trees. So given that, is pruning in the fall and winter the best time for me to prune? I dare say it isn't. If you look into the work of John Kemp and also Stefan Subkowiak, if you have a tree that is entirely too vigorous, like I have, like most of my trees here right now, not all of them, but a fair number of them, where I've gone so heavy, and I'm not going to take it back, but I need to slow them down. And the only way that we know how to do it is when it would have served me better. I can still get the advantage of having done it while the leaves are still on it. But for me to prune while the leaves are still on it, I'm basically giving that tree, I'm like, okay, look, I know you're vigorous, but I need you to kind of chill out a little bit. Instead of you being a tree, I need you to be a lower fruit tree. When all your branches are pointing straight up, that kind of gives you a hint that maybe it might be a little bit too vigorous. So a lot of these trees, I'm going to pollard not completely down the head height, but maybe, I don't know, it depends on the tree, but some of them are going to be about 10 feet. Some of them, you know, it's going to vary depending on the tree. Now, when I do that, when the tree is still vegetative, I'm basically telling all the hormones in that tree, I need you to chill out, even though it's a vegetative time for you. And you might be in that position. Now, I haven't taught that before, because I didn't have a reason to teach it before, but I'm teaching it now. I mean, I've been aware of this tactic, but now I should have done it. I mean, man, I was just going at a million miles an hour for months and months now. And now I'm going to have to go out there and do a lot of this right now while the leaves are still on it. And I'll be covering some of that more on Patreon. These are the kind of the people on Patreon, not talking down to anybody, but really the people on Patreon. Obviously you can get in for as little as a dollar, but the reason I do it that way is any of the heady material that I know is not going to get promoted on YouTube, the people that won't see it, only the serious people will see this. And that's why I saved that information for Patreon. I'm not doing it to try to make money. Like I said, Patreon takes nearly, half anyway. I mean, they take a fair piece of it anyway. But the point of it being is that the more heady stuff I tried to save for Patreon, because that's where the more serious people are, not necessarily on YouTube. And also the people that listen to this podcast are also going to be in that same group. That's why I'm telling you right now, if you want to know more specific instruction, I'm going to start doing more of that here in the coming days. You can still train your trees while there's still leaves on it. Best time would be probably August, because it did all the growing that it's probably going to do for that year. So you can start training then if you want to train. You don't have to. If you want to keep it in a narrow footprint, if you want to make it more productive concerning fruit, I'm going to cover more of that and, show you some more of the tactics that I'm using to make that possible. So pruning, I know that it can be, you can still do the same LBL method, but pruning can be one of those things, man, that people just don't know what to do or how to go about it. And then the work of Stefan Subkowiak, and like I said, I've overlaid some of his information along with people like, that guy out of the Pacific Northwest, back to Eden, dude.
Oh, I don't
Paul remember. Gauci.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't necessarily use just one person's method. I might take a bunch of them. Even John Kemp, at the latest Stockman Grass Farmers Conference, he basically went into much more. I mean, Stefan had been teaching this for some time, but he went into the biological reasons as to why, a lot of orchards these days are doing their pruning more in the summertime as opposed to winter, because they want to keep it low. They want to keep everything at ground level. It in a food forest, am I going to worry about that sort of thing? In most cases, no. In fact, I'm making myself in the food forest have something more of a laissez-faire type approach, where I'm really, unless it's a problem branch that's in the aisle or something, I'm really not getting rid of it. I mean, I'm seeing some poorly structured trees out there, but I'm just going to go with it, and we're going to see what happens. Because honestly, per square foot, there's nothing that produces more food with as little effort as a food forest. So everything I just said here may not even apply to you. So just take what dog to the hunt that you need. All right. Hopefully that's a blessing to you. And like I said, I'll do more on Patreon here in the coming days. All right. Before we get into the Q&A, 5% off of greenwavefilters.com. Once again, with my electrical background, I know what I'm talking about. Y'all, we were getting Kentucky fried up in here. All it took was two fluorescent lights out in the kitchen that polluted this entire house. And I'm going to tell you another thing, and I keep saying I'm going to do a video. How many days have we been talking about trying to do this video?
Since last week.
Yeah. Of the Greenways filters, man. And when I show you some of the things that will absolutely pollute the circuits in your house, you're going to think twice about using them. Like those little night lights that, people like. I mean, I know they're handy and everything, but folks, if you only knew what this does, or even the grow lights, if you knew what that does, you need to get squared away on this stuff. Well, like I know I haven't done the video, but anyway, 5% off greenwavefilters.com with promo code PERMA. And with that, we're going to get into the Q&A. So, and like I said, folks, if I'm missing anything here, by all means, if y'all hear this meowing in the background, that's Michelle's cat going nuts. So, what is she doing?
She was sleeping. She's probably looking for me.
Yeah. You turned that cat into a total diva. Yeah. So, got one email that got through, and basically, look, if you're a fraudster and you buy our products, don't think for a minute I can't see right through it. I won't go into any detail, but I know who you are, and you fit the same demographic every time. Am I right, honey?
Yes.
Every single time. So just wanted to put that out there for all the fraudsters out there that want free products and then you make up lies about what it is and what it isn't. Look, I didn't just step out of the cotton fields, man. I know what time it is. So anyway, I just wanted to put that out there. By and large, 99% of everybody's great. Okay, good afternoon, Brother Billy. I pray this message finds you and your family well. My wife and I recently attended the Homesteaders United. I've been following your YouTube channel as well as the PimpCast for about the past year. Been trying to absorb as much information regarding regenerative gardening, the soil, food web, and all the other permaculture in a short time. As a reformed city kid, grew up in Philly, I'd like to make the most of our plot out in the exurbs of ex exurbs of West Virginia. Would you be able to recommend a good permaculture design training course? I have a background in electronics and ended up in Virginia and then West Virginia by way of the U.S. Navy. All right. Well, Jeff Lawton, without a doubt, has the best permaculture design class on the planet. I don't even know that there's a number two. Would you?
I don't think there is. Yeah. He has a gift for teaching, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. He knocks it out of the park in a way that I don't know that anybody else can. But it's expensive, so just be advised on that.
It's also not available anytime. It only starts certain times.
Right. There are windows when it's open, so you got to catch it when it is. School of Permaculture, it's also a good course, and it's way more affordable. So that's at like $25 a month, if I remember correctly, unless they've changed something. School of Permaculture, for anybody that's willing to get a PDC and you want to get it online, if you can find it in person, man, that's really hard to beat because it helps to be able to talk to the people around you. So here it is. This is from Zach. I heard you mentioning breast birds as of late and wanted to share my observations so far. I was able to put them on pasture about 10 to 12 days before the barred rocks, which were also at the brooder at the same time. Wow, that's cool. I actually had to put a divider to keep the peace due to the size difference. They were also very active birds despite the pace at which they add size and would move a serious amount of material in a tricking tract or a stationary run. He says, I'll be finishing them on apples and whey from yogurt making. Wow, that's awesome. Though I hear in France they finish on whole milk and corn for marbling, for which they're famous. Yeah, he says he likes their temperament and everything as well. I'm looking to get my hands on some here before too long. Just got to get a few irons of the fire worked out, but I definitely want to try them in the chicken tractor on steroids. But man, I haven't heard a person yet say something bad about those birds. We got one from Scott. He's saying it was great to meet you at the Homesteaders United Jamboree. Any idea when the videos or the classes will be available? Hope there will be another. Till then, do you know if bone sauce will repel black bears from an orchard or a food forest? As far as that,
I have a question, and I haven't gotten an answer back yet, but just to see what the timeline is for the videos.
All right, so hopefully we'll get that to you pretty soon. As far as bone sauce on black bears, I got to get my hand on some bears. I need the bones of the animal I want to repel to be able to make this thing work effectively, and I haven't yet gotten my hands on a black bear. Judging by all these guys running across the mountain with these bear dogs, I don't know. I might be able to get some. Might have to check a processing house or something like that. I ain't sure how many people are making stock out of bear bones. I don't know. But if I can get my hands on some bear bones, I would love to be able to make a bone sauce recipe for bears, but I really got to have their bones in order to make that. I know I got to have their bones. I got to have their hair. I got to have a number of things to be able to make this stuff right. So, hopefully that'll be coming up in the future. I've been trying to get my hands on a bear for the last couple of years. My former barber, don't believe I'm gonna go back there anymore, but she was always on the lookout and was willing to let me know. Apparently there's one getting hit over the mountains all the time. Hi, Billy and Michelle. I was going to send this audio file with my best Eric Cider imitation, but we'll write instead. Just kidding. But I make errors each and every week, if not every day. The secret is not making them over and over, but learning and making course corrections. Amen to that. When stocking up on food, we did not initially know about folic acid and things labeled enriched. No, he didn't know about that. Neither did I. I didn't know that either. That was something I learned of in the last several months. And I think it was Eric Sider that also pointed that out to me. At least that being in rice, or I'd learned about it from Gary Brecka. When this is enriched, man, you need to run away from that. Was purchasing a cow from a church friend and setting up processing before attending the Homesteaders United Jamboree. A good idea? No. I go on and on about things I've done that are permaculture sins in thought, word, or deed, but the point is to soldier on and learn from those mistakes. Man, I couldn't agree more. Blessings of Christ to everyone out there listening, to you and all, You are in all my prayers. Well, thank you so much, Steve. Man, I can't thank you enough for that. Boy, a lot of people really need them right now because so many people are definitely in a bind right now. I can't even keep up with them all.
Yeah, I know. I get emails. I get texts. Yeah.
Your cat is over here licking my feet. What on earth is going on up in this place? All right, y'all.
I don't know.
Look, I know it's been a little bit disjointed today, but man, hopefully this was a blessing to you. Look, y'all, once again, stay in prayer for everybody else out there, man. It's like everybody I know, and I'm sure a lot of y'all out there are in the same boat. Look, if you had an email sent to me, they're playing games. If I didn't get to it, if I didn't respond, you know the reasons why. Look, y'all, we're going to continue to do our best, and I'm going to continue to speak truth to power no matter where I find it. Until next time, stay alert.
Stay alive.
Just a carbon copy, you spitting that manicotti. Yeah, I'm talking saucy. All they wanna build is a prison world full of pet Tamagotchis. Like a kamikaze, got me out of body like I'm Goku SS3. They wanna push me to the center like a cell, they wanna spin up at the center of the next is me. They want me to battle, but I'm a warrior. I'm a warrior. I will never bow down, cause I'm a warrior. I'm a warrior.